I believe. Looking forward to that, and I hope that you ask lots of questions. I love answering questions. Tonight, let's go to the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 28. I can't think of a better passage to preach out of for a missions conference than Matthew 28, although there are many, many good passages to preach from. Nothing new tonight, but I hope that by the end of the service, your mind might see God's plan in missions just a little more clearly. Because God has a plan for each and every one of us when it comes to missions, and we want to see that tonight. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless this time that we have, Lord, just to communicate your word. I pray that your spirit would communicate the truth of the word of God to your people's hearts, Lord. I pray that nothing I say that you wouldn't have me to say would even be heard, Lord, but that your word would be communicated effectively tonight. Speak to my heart. Speak to the hearts of my family. Speak to the hearts of this church in Jesus' name. Amen. So we have this passage here. Probably everyone in here is familiar with this passage. Jesus is speaking to some of his disciples at this point, and he's communicating the Great Commission. Now, if you rewind in time a little bit, we find Jesus is born of a virgin. Jesus grows up with his family all the way till 30 years old. At 30 years old, he comes onto the scene, and he begins a public ministry. He goes out and he begins to do miracles. He begins to preach truth. He begins to declare the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He begins to call disciples to himself. Now, as he calls some of these disciples to himself, he begins to teach them the truth that he's trying to communicate to the multitudes. And he specifically has 12 that he calls to himself that spend almost all of their time with him. And he teaches them, and he teaches them, and he teaches them. The amount of Jesus' life that we actually have recorded in Scripture is very small. It's if you were to count the minutes that are marked in Scripture, they are not very many at all. Think of the book of John. The book of John, over half of it takes place, or about half of it takes place in 1 week. That last week of Christ's life, right before his crucifixion. Half the book. So these are some key conversations, some key miracles that take place that we have recorded. Now, the disciples, on the other hand, had 3.5 years with Jesus Christ. And what do you think he was doing during that time? He was teaching them the truth. Because he knew after he was gone, these disciples would be the primary people communicating that truth to the church. Now, as he's teaching them and talking to them, the disciples didn't get it. They really didn't know what Jesus was saying. The idea that he was going to die wasn't really making sense to them. The idea that he would go to heaven wasn't really making sense to them. But he's teaching them anyways. So they're kind of getting this thing. They love him. They want to serve him. But they don't fully understand what he's trying to communicate to them. And then all of a sudden, guess what? Jesus is captured by the Romans, and shortly after crucified. And now the disciples are just completely confused. They don't know what's going on. I'm confident that they're emotionally going through the ringer, and they don't know what to expect. And then Jesus raises from the dead. And now they're trying to figure out, they're trying to piece all the pieces together. And they're still pretty confused, but slowly over the next 40 days, things start to sink into their mind and they begin to understand God's plan. And Jesus spends 40 days and he begins to affirm once again the truths that he had spent 3.5 years teaching them before. These things are so. God's plan hasn't changed. He is the same God with the same heart and mind, and the truth is going to go forward. And as he reaffirms all these things that he's been teaching them, he gets to the end of these 40 days, And what does he say?
He says, go ye therefore
and teach all nations.
So this idea of this great commission that he gives here, he is giving to the disciples as they enter into basically the church age. This commission is God's primary command for the church. It's your number one responsibility. Reaching the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ is your number one responsibility. It really is. Now, let's step back for a minute and think about that. Have we been obeying the Master? That is the responsibility of this church, because this is a church that belongs to Jesus. And that's his command for you. It's the responsibility of my church. It's the responsibility of the churches in Nigeria and Burkina Faso and the other countries mentioned tonight. It's the number one responsibility for every church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's God. But let's think back a little bit. This is the heart of God. This is God's will for the church. Now, the Word of God says that God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if we go back through the Word of God, we can see key facets of this command all throughout biblical history. I want you to think with me. First thing I want you to think about is I want you to think about God's purpose. Look in the verse. The verse says, he says, go ye therefore and teach all nations. I believe God's purposes for the world is that all the world should know him. Let's go back in time. Let's go all the way back to when time was created. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And God created light, and God created earth, and God created water, and God separated it, and he organized it, and he brought it forth, and he put grass on it, and trees on it, and herbs on it, and he put stars in the skies, and he built the moon, and he built the sun, and he put fish in the sea, and he put birds in the air, and he put animals on the land, and he created man, and he created woman, and the entire earth knew God. And you know what he said? It was very good. God's purpose is that all the world should know him. Now, obviously, sin came into the world. Man plunged himself into darkness. He was separated from God. And as man reproduced, it just got worse and worse and worse. And it brings us to this point in history where God looks down and says, I'm going to destroy the earth. And Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and God commanded him to build an ark. He builds the ark. He brings his family on board. God rains down on the earth destruction and destroys everybody but Noah and his family. And Noah and his family step off the ark. And once again, the entire earth knew God. God's purpose is that all the earth should know him. Once again, about 150 years later, man's building this tower to get to heaven apart from God's design, and God confounds the languages and scatters people all over the earth, and sin begins to grow again, and God comes down and he chooses a man, and he finds Abraham, and he makes a promise to Abraham. He says, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. Listen, he says, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. God's purpose is still the same, that all the earth should know him. Forward again, Israel becomes a nation. They go down to Egypt. They're enslaved by Egypt for 400 years. Moses runs to the backside of the desert. God comes to him in a burning bush and he says, Moses, go back to Egypt and you tell Pharaoh that I said, and here's the verse, God speaking to Moses to communicate to Pharaoh in Exodus 9:16, and in very deed, God speaking, For this cause have I, that's God, raised thee, that is Pharaoh, up. For to show in thee my power, and that my name may be declared throughout all the earth. God's purpose is that all the earth should know him. Go forward again. Israel's delivered out of Egypt. They brought into the promised land. They are established as a kingdom. David comes out against Goliath as Goliath is challenging the God of Israel. And David looks at him and says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. God's purpose is that all the earth should know him. Again, we move forward and we find Solomon in 1 Kings 8:43. He has just finished building the temple. He is dedicating it to God. And he says, as he's praying to the Lord, he says, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name, to fear thee as do thy people Israel. God's purpose is that all the earth should know. We go forward again and we find Jesus. He's looking at Nicodemus and he says, for God so loved the world. God's purpose is that all the world should know. It's always been there. God loves the whole world. Which brings us to the command that Christ gives us. All now we see God's purpose. Now, there's another thing that we can find in this passage. Go back to Matthew chapter 28. What does he say in verse number 18? And Jesus came and spake unto him, saying, all power. Folks, all Psalm 62:11. God hath spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Psalm 77:14, thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. God's power is over all the earth. By God's creation power, man was formed. So all the earth know. By God's destructive power, the earth was destroyed by a flood. So all the earth would know him. You go forward again and God makes an eternal promise with Abraham so that all the earth could know him. We find again that God comes down and by 10 great and mighty plagues casts down Egypt, the mightiest army in the world, so that all the earth could know him. We see again that David comes out against Goliath and it slays the giant so that all the earth could know him. We see in the passage about Solomon, he says, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place and do according to all that the stranger calleth to thee for. God answers prayer so that all the earth can know him. And then we see Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. The resurrection power of God so that all the earth can know him. Folks, God's purpose is that all the earth should know him. And he backs that up with all of his power. The power of God to accomplish the purposes of God. But there's another thing that we see in the passage. What does he say in the passage? He says in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you. Why do we need God with us? I mean, we're doing okay here in the United States. I mean, we got things pretty much together. We see God's purpose. We see God's power. But every time in God's mind frame, we always see God's people. And the truth about it is God's people are always small and weak. Think about it. What did Paul say in the scripture? He says, when I am weak, then am I strong. Remember the beginning of creation? What power, what part did Adam have in his own creation? None. Adam didn't do anything to bring about the will of God there. In Noah's time, you look at Noah, and it wasn't Noah's power that destroyed the earth. It wasn't Noah's might or Noah's influence that caused the world to know God. It was God's power. You go forward again and you find Abraham. And what does the Bible say about Abraham? The Bible says that Abraham's body was dead. The Bible says that Sarah was beyond the years of bearing children. And yet God's power so that all the earth can know him. Moses, down in Egypt, Moses rejected by Egypt, rejected by Israel, Israel in chains, in bondage, enslaved, and yet God's power so that all the earth can know him. You go forward again and you find David standing there facing Goliath, perhaps the mightiest soldier in all the world at that time, potentially because of the spiritualistic times that they lived in and the demonic activity. He could have been demon possessed for all I know. A giant standing there staring down at a teenage boy with no experience, no training, no weapons, no armor, but God's power so that all the earth can know him. Look what Solomon says. This one fascinates me. Solomon dedicating the temple. He says, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do according to all that the stranger calleth thee for, that all people of the earth may know thy name to fear thee, as do thy people Israel. Think about this with me. God comes down and he creates mankind. And then he chooses one man among the population of the earth. And he says, you are going to be the father of my chosen people. And the nation of Israel was born. And then hundreds of years later, God comes down and he chooses one tribe in this nation to allow them to carry out the service and the worship of the Lord. The tribe of Levi, the priests and the Levites, carrying out the honor of serving the Lord. And then a couple hundred years later, he comes down and once again, he chooses one family line to be the royal family line, to be the line that brings about the Messiah, King David. And his son stands here praying to God, and he says, hear thou in heaven thy dwelling place, and do, listen to this, he says, answer the prayer, Lord. Not my prayer, the prayer of the king, the prayer of the royal line, not that prayer, Lord. I'm not asking you to answer the prayers of the priests or of the Levites, Lord. I'm not even asking you to answer the prayers of the children of Israel, your chosen people. He says, answer the prayers of the strangers. The strangers were the Gentiles who along the way believed on the God of Israel and followed the God of Israel to serve the God of Israel. But they didn't enter into the promise God had made with Abraham. They weren't given the same access that oftentimes the people in the congregation were given to worship the God of Abraham. But they followed and they loved him. Solomon says, God, answer their prayers. The prayers of the small and the weak people.
God's purposes, God's power, God's people.
Now, if we're consistent to our illustration, we come now to Jesus Christ. And if we're consistent to our illustration, I'm going to stand here and I'm going to tell you that Jesus Christ was also weak. And that one's just a little harder to swallow, isn't it? Because Jesus Christ was the Son of God. And the Son of God existed before time began in eternity past, and he shared equal authority with God the Father and God the Son. They dwelt in perfect unity and perfect harmony. There was no want, there was no need, there was no lack, there was nothing missing from their existence. When God created the world, he did not create the world because he needed the world. He wasn't needing to be worshiped. There was no want in God. When God created man, it's not because there was any lack in him, any void that needed to be filled. He created it out of his own good pleasure and according to his own sovereign will, not based on any lack or need that he had. He was perfect before time began. So how do you say that Jesus was weak? So there's some doctrine to understand. You go to Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." The Bible says, "Who thought it not robbery to be equal with God," and he was 100% equal with God, "but made himself of no reputation." The Son of God became the Son of Man. He didn't cease to be God. Don't misunderstand me. Jesus has always been 100% God. But when he made himself of no reputation, he stepped away from his divine authority. He stepped away from his divine inheritance, his divine rights, his divine privileges. He set it aside. He did not give himself access to his divinity. Though it was intrinsic to who he was, he did not access his divinity. He became the Son of Man. God made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. For the first time, Jesus Christ was parched at the end of a walk. For the first time, Jesus Christ was weary. The Bible says God never sleeps and never slumbers. Jesus slept in the bottom of the boat. God slept. The first time he had need and he had want. Jesus Christ became 100% man. Now we look at him in his manhood. Still, think about how many miracles he did. Think about the power he displayed. I still don't know if you can call him small and weak. The Bible says he did more miracles than any man ever. There's no doubt he was the Son of God. There was no doubt. They just rejected God. You look at the end of the book of John, it says, John says, "I don't think there's enough books in the world to hold the details of Christ." And he's right. So how do we call him weak? There's more to the passage, isn't there? The Bible says he took upon him the form of servant, was made in the likeness of men. Then, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. From the moment he was born to the moment he died, he was humble and obedient. Even the death of the cross. I don't think you understand. I don't think any of us understand the death of Christ on the cross. What Christ endured and bore on the cross is beyond anything you can understand. I mean, I can lay out some of the physical things that he endured. And he endured great physical oppression. Incredible physical oppression. That is nothing compared to the spiritual battle that raged as he died on the cross. Remember God the Son, who has been in perfect fellowship with his Father from eternity past? As your sin and my sin was laid upon him, his Father of perfect fellowship turned his back on him, and a unity that we could never comprehend was broken as he bore our sin. No father ever loved his son like God loved Jesus Christ. And no son ever loved his father the way Jesus loved God. And they bore a separation and death at the time of that cross that we cannot fathom. He was humble and obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus Christ died. But in that death, he remained humble and obedient. Here's what happened. The Son of God set aside his divine power to become the Son of Man. And the Son of Man set aside his man power to do everything in the power of the Father. Just like you're supposed to. God's purposes are accomplished by God's power through small and weak words. To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. One more thing and we'll be done. We see God's purpose. We see God's power. We see God's people. But we also see God's He says, go ye therefore. He says, I have commanded. God's plan has always been the same. That's identified in the book of Hebrews. When the author of Hebrews says, by faith, Abel, by faith, Enoch, by faith, Noah, by faith, Abraham and Isaac, Jacob and Moses, and the judges and the prophets, by faith. And you look in that passage, and it is always something that is done after. We trust the power of God from a place of weakness, and our faith activates that power. So there's two conditions that matter for us. If we are to accomplish God's purposes that all the world should know, we have to believe that. We have to believe that his power is sufficient to do the work. It is. It always has been, and it still is today. We have to believe that God's work can be accomplished. But we don't. And he could not there do many mighty works because of their unbelief. There's another thing. We have to be small enough and weak enough. God works to put us in small and weak places so that we can access his power. Fight him. God, I don't like you stressing my schedule like this. God, I don't like you stressing my finances like this. God, I don't like you stressing my relationships like this. God, I don't like you stressing my own personal culture like this. God, I don't want to step outside of my box. God, I don't like to be made to feel small and weak. So we fight the Lord. But folks, if God's power is going to be accessed by us, we have to be small and weak people who believe. Tonight, do you believe God? And are you small enough and weak enough to be used? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you use small and weak people, because it is only through you and your power that your work is accomplished. And when it is done that way, you get all the glory. I pray tonight, Lord, whatever it is in our heart that is hindering us from being used by you, I pray that you would correct it. Help us to humble ourselves, to become small and weak, and to believe you, and by faith, access your power to accomplish your purpose. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor.